broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
And good morning, Ben. I do have some sad news from the Aloha Section PGA. Executive Director Wes Wailuhua sent this. It is with great sadness that we announce the loss of PGA lifetime member Ronald Castillo Sr. He was 86 and passed peacefully at home with his family on March 26th. His leadership and his passion for the game have blessed the Hawaii golf industry. He was a legend to many of Hawaii's golf professionals, and he'll be missed by all of us. As more information becomes available, we'll share it with you. And until then, we ask you to keep the Castillo Ohana in your thoughts during this difficult time. To me, his legacy is five wonderful children, all in the game of golf. And as Mark Rolfing said to me, when I first started off in this game, Ron Castillo meant a lot to me. I listened to him. So we thank Ron Castillo for all of the advice that he's given to so many. And you rest in peace. We're going to have a mostly cloudy day today. And I know you want to get out and play a round of golf. Volcano Golf Club has a 924. Makalei has a 942. Poipu has a 1050. 1110, and then at noon, the high schools are taking over, all three of them. Turtle Bay here on Oahu has an 836, a 910, and a noon. The Jack Black group is going out, as well as the Sandbaggers. At least they're honest. Royal Hawaiian Country Club has an 850, 948 as well. Eva Beach Golf Course, 848, 1010. Makaha East, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. Wailea Gold, 9:30. Emerald, 1 o'clock. Blue, a 9:10, a 9:40. And this is Maui now, of course. Maui Nui has an 11:30. So what about those thunderstorms? Yes, Kauai, numerous showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms. Oahu, scattered showers, a slight chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. Maui County, isolated showers, high today about 86 degrees, guys, so put on that sunscreen. East to southeasterly winds, 5 to 15 miles per hour. And on Hawaii Island, Big Island, yes, mostly cloudy, scattered showers, windward, a slight chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. On the leeward side, isolated showers in the morning, and again, a chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon, and your high will be about 84 degrees. So we got a great show lined up for you today. Alex Nakajima, Aloha Section PGA, Golf Professional of the Year, is going to be with us. Ron Syrak, Golf Channel contributor, award-winning golf writer, author. Larry Gilhooly, he's retired, but the former director, Northwest Region USGA Green Sections, with us. William Foster, another PGA. He's over at Four Seasons Lanai, and he's the Aloha Section PGA 2022 Youth Player Development Award recipient. And we're kicking off the show. Matt Adams, host of Fairways of Life and NBC and Golf Channel. You see, he's hosting on Golf Channel. He's over at Augusta Women's Amateur and, of course, the Augusta National Women's Amateur. And he'll be at the Masters, and we're going to do a preview when we get this show underway. Let's kick it off.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show, brought to you by these fine sponsors. MD Restoration, water, flood water, broken pipe cleanup, call 24/7, licensed contractors too. Raynor Garage Doors, steel, aluminum, and wood. Ready to hang or custom made, sales and service. That's Raynor Doors. Aloha Power Equipment's new mega store is now open across from Costco Iwile. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment's Waipahu store, and now in Iwile. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Matt Adams, host of Fairways of Life. You can get the free Fairways of Life app on both iOS and Android. He's NBC and Golf Channel host and reporter. Golf Central, we've seen him at the Augusta National Women's Amateur. Welcome into the clubhouse, Matt.
Hey, Danielle. Nice to be with you again.
Absolutely. Are you working on another book?
I am, actually. It's funny you should ask me that. The last book I wrote was called The Golf Round I'll Never Forget. And the publisher contacted me about a month or so ago and said that the book did really well and they want to come out with a new and revised edition. So they've asked me to write an additional, I guess I have to write 32 more pages, which I have to find time to do that sometime, I guess. But so that the new edition will be out next year.
You mean in addition to your own show and being on Golf Channel?
Yeah.
Yes. What a schedule you have. But I mean, this is a fine time to be in the mix with everything that's going on in this game of golf. And, you know, Tiger Woods. Wait a minute. Tiger Woods, we haven't heard anything about whether or not he's actually going to play in the Masters. But let me see now. He's on the media list for Tuesday, April 4th at Augusta National. Do they have guys on the media list if they're not playing?
Oh, yeah, sure. Jack Nicklaus will be on there. There'll be people that will address the media that are not going to necessarily tee it up over the course of the years at the Masters. But every indication is that Tiger's ready to go and that Tiger intends to play. I mean, the Masters seems to be the one event that he targets every single year to gauge everything that he's doing to peak at that time to play the game of golf. And what will be interesting with Tiger, and you were kind of alluding to it, you said, what a time with golf media and all the rest, because there's so much swirling around the game right now. There is so much really disagreement in many quarters of the game. Tiger, when he speaks on Tuesday, we have already been informed that he intends to speak to the prospect of rolling back the golf ball. Now, he has said previously, as has Jack Nicklaus, incidentally, that they think the golf ball should be rolled back, that the current ball is just going too far. So we expect that that will be part of the comments that Tiger will make on Tuesday. No doubt he's going to be asked about the 18 players from LIV Golf that are at the Masters. They've earned their way to be there. I'm sure he'll be asked about that and the state of golf there as well. There's a lot happening at the highest competitive level of the game around the world.
Absolutely. You know, last year, Jack Nicklaus, I think it was last year, he said he figured Bryson DeChambeau could drive the green on number one at Augusta National, uphill 455 yards, par four, drive the green. You know, that's like crazy. We've got the question is, and a lot of people are focusing just on this distance, not on the fact that the golf courses can't handle that distance unless you want to make them obsolete, you know, so you can drive the par four. You'd have to make it like a, I don't know, how football stadium sized. It seems absurd that we're getting to the point where technology has allowed the ball and the physical condition. That's great. Be in shape. We're not saying that you guys shouldn't be in shape. That's wonderful. What we're saying here is, we don't have enough water. We don't have enough money to extend all these golf courses. We don't have the people who are going to have to work. That's more expenses. Who's going to pay for this? Who is, you know, I suppose the private country clubs can handle it. But there are a lot of courses that simply couldn't afford to do it. And I think, to me, when the USGA was speaking to this question with the RNA, that just made so much sense. But it's been turned around completely and viewed from the point of view of the elite players, the only people who will be impacted by this, that they're somehow being targeted and they're being made to be uncomfortable. And, I don't know, they make a lot of money.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very, very, very complicated issue. And as you know, I come from an equipment background as well as a, you know, course operator background. And to the point that they feel like they're being targeted, they are being targeted. It's the only 0.1% that are perceived as hitting the ball too far that are facing this restriction at this time. The way the USGA and the RNA are proposing doing it, not to get too deep in the weeds in this one with you today, because I think another day we can get into it in more detail, is they're going to raise the testing speed of the robot from 120 to 127, which is about a 6% increase, which doesn't sound like much, but it has a real material impact because every mile per hour above 120 to 127 in the testing criteria is 2.3 yards less of distance, and bearing in mind that 120, the current speed of the robot testing, is 5 miles per hour or 2.3 yards for every mile per hour above the average on the PGA Tour, which is 215 yards. So it does have a material impact. It will effectively make, if it goes through, every golf ball that's currently on the marketplace will become non-conforming for the elite players. So it's going to require new golf balls to be created. After that, you're talking about some players from 115 and under. How will they be impacted? It is my view, which a lot of people disagree with, that the impact will be disproportional, meaning that the people with the slower club head speed will get less efficiency and distance proportionally as the faster club head speed golfers. In other words, the faster you are, the less you'll be impacted by the slowed down golf ball. Many people are trying to tell me, no, it's 5% across the board. But in my sources and all of the people that I'm consulting, no one can assure me that a rubber sphere, given different amounts of force inbound, will react by the same 5%. There's just it's theory, but it's unproven. So there's so much to this that has yet to be discussed and disseminated. For my part, when Thomas Pagel said, and with Mike Wan, when they did their press conference initially and sent out a video of the same, the statement was that we're okay today. Today is not the problem, but the problem is 20, 30, 40, 50 years. If we continue to extend the amount of distance that players are hitting the drives, it would be a problem for golf courses. It would obsolete golf courses, and I totally understand that and agree with that. I just personally happen to think that his statement that the problem is not today is something that we should strongly consider and say, okay, let's not go overboard today in terms of putting up restrictions that are too severe, because I think 127 is too severe. There's 22 golfers at 120 right now in the entire tour.
Wow.
There's no golfers that have average swing speeds at 127, absolutely zero. So it seems like an overreaction as far as that goes. I suspect that that's the reason why a lot of the tour pros are saying, whoa, 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 whoa. If the problem isn't today, why are you obsoleting every golf ball that exists today? How about we look towards the future, again, down the road, so that we know that 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, and 50 years out, we haven't obsoleted the golf courses. I think one of the things they could do is bring a lot more spin back into a golf ball so that pure ball striking is rewarded as much as anything else. So, and anyway, I could go on all day about this, but it's a very complicated subject.
Yeah. Yes, but it's fascinating. I mean, I don't think anybody's thought that there's this much in a golf ball, the general populace. And by the way, golfers going out, it has absolutely nothing to do with us. You know, you're going to have the ball that you've been playing and not a problem. Because from what I understand, the guys who are playing on tour at that level, they're not using the balls that we buy.
But they also can have a left dot. They can choose golf balls that come from, for example, maybe a player doesn't want to play the new version of XYZ ball. He wants to play the version that was last year, or the year before, or 5 years ago. They have access to that, and they'll make that. So there are different variances that are available for the best players in the world. But every piece of equipment that the best player in the world plays, if an amateur wanted to play it, they could.
Okay.
They could find out precisely what the head is, what the lofts and specs and weights are, the shaft that they use, the grip that they use, the golf ball that they use, everything they could replicate exactly. And that's another issue that's coming up with this, because the governing bodies are saying that, well, amateurs are not impacted with this. You will not be restricted. And there's a whole group of people that are going, well, geez, that's what we always had the right to use the same thing. You still have the right to use this other golf ball. You are not restricted in what you use. It's not going to be non-conforming for you to use a golf ball that is less distance. But that is a bone of contention, and many of the manufacturers don't like that because they know so much of the commerce of the game is based upon the trading principle of hope, which means, oh, I want to hit the ball that I see XYZ player hit. He hits it so far. I want to use that ball.
Right.
So it's a complicated issue for the manufacturers as well, because they don't want bifurcation. And I should note, the governing bodies are not calling it bifurcation. They're going well out of their way to not use that word. Although, again, Thomas Pagel said he wouldn't argue with someone if they used it. And the chief executive of the RNA, Martin Slumbers, called it a split model, which I kind of got a kick out of. It sure sounds like bifurcation to me. But anyway, that's just more elements of the complication of this whole thing.
Thank you. Let's go to the Masters. And we're all playing with the same balls. Our individual balls. Nothing's changed. Rory McIlroy. Mm-hmm. The one major that he doesn't possess is Augusta National, the Masters. He doesn't have a green jacket. Are you seeing in your, you know, in your crystal ball, do you think he's ready to take on the cabin and Augusta National?
I mean, he's ready from the standpoint of when we're talking about overall skill, potential to perform well. He's certainly ready. The question with Rory of late had been his putter, because his putter, his performance with his putter in hand had been off in 2023 as compared to prior seasons. And as you know, at the match play, he switched to a old traditional answer style putter. Some call it a blade style, but it's really not a blade. It still has perimeter weighting. It's just not a mallet. So my concern for Rory McIlroy is more about the putter. Did he get it figured out at the match play? It looked like it. If that's the case, that's good. The pressure of a major in Augusta National tends to add to it. The thing with Rory is that he's also an emotional guy, an emotional player.
Yeah.
At Royal Portrush in 2019, we saw that Rory McIlroy struggled, and I talked to his dad, Jerry, at the time, and he just said the pressure was just too much. He just couldn't overcome the expectations of you know, what the entire country wanted of him, and, right, and the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland as well in the UK. So will he be able to overcome that? He's definitely capable, but he needs the technical to align with the emotional. I think if you looked at the 1, 2, and 3 player, and it is – you know, a big three conversation right now with Scheffler and with Rory and with Rahm. I still look at Scotty Scheffler as the one that I think has the best chance to win this Masters. Look, he did really well at the match play, which he was defending. He's already defended the WM Phoenix Open. He's coming in defending the Masters. Mm-hmm. He seems to be firing in all cylinders, and he never strikes me as being anything other than who he is and what he's doing. He's always within that realm. John Rahm is John Rahm. If he finds it, and if it's all channeling for him the way he is capable of, he could be the guy that, if you had the conversation, which everyone always has, if they're all playing their absolute best golf, who would win? It might well be John Rahm because of how much the power that he possesses and the fire that he possesses,
yes,
in every facet and by every measure. So those are the primary ones that I look at and say most likely the battle at the top would be them.
Yeah, you know, he kind of reminds me of a tempestuous bull. You know, there's something when he gets on fire, he's like, he's charging, you know, and that would, he's just in his own world going forward. I would be intimidated. I don't suppose the guys at that level are, to a degree, but when you see someone who's that intent, there's something about it, the mind being so demanding of the person to succeed, that in itself can make you go, whoa, inside of you, not necessarily in the head. Let's go to LIV Golf. There's Abraham Anser, Bryson DeChambeau, Sergio Garcia, Taylor Gooch, Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, Jason Kokrak, Phil Mickelson, Kevin Na, Joaquin Niemann, Louis Oosthuizen, Thomas Peters, Patrick Reed, Charles Schwartzel, Cameron Smith, Harold Varner, Bubba Watson. Those are all the LIV players coming. Now we talk and we hear about, will there be this animosity between the guys? Do you really think that'll happen?
There'll be some. It depends on who the individuals are and probably what, you know, type of relationship they've got going. So yeah, there will be some. I mean, Bryson just said the other day that Tiger Woods has cut off all contact with him since he went to LIV. So there clearly are people that have some axes to grind there. I think the Champions Dinner, while Ben Crenshaw, who opens your show, Ben Crenshaw said that it's going to be a celebration of them all being together. Yeah, it's going to be. But, you know, human beings are human beings. So will there be people that will feel uncomfortable, and will there be people that that feel that it's awkward? Yeah, 100%. That's going to take place too. I'm more curious about a couple things. One being, how much does all of the machinations that are going on in the world of golf right now cause the major championships to become even more important? And I know that sounds really odd to say that, because how can they become more important? But I wonder if they're going to become even more important, because it is the time, four times a year, when we see all of the best players in the world come together. You know, for example, like Brooks Koepka is playing pretty well in Orlando this week. Brooks Koepka has the best scoring average at Augusta National since 2015. Could he come in and win at Augusta National the week ahead? Yeah, he definitely can do it. It definitely can happen. And it makes you wonder, okay, what's going to the reaction going to be then if a LIV player wins the major? I look at that and say the best player that week won, and that's where the story begins and ends. That is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be fascinating for all these reasons that we just outlined.
Yes, because then it will be like, oh, LIV Golf is better than the PGA Tour, you know, the model. It's, now, when they compete, are they getting the same kind of competition skills? I don't know how else to put it. When you're in competition on the PGA Tour, you're not playing as a team. You're playing against each other. Everybody's hot and on. It seems more like a party at LIV, but I've never seen it. I can't say that I know anything about it. It's just an impression. What do you think?
I definitely think that there's reason to question the depth for no other reason than just say, well, they're only competing in three rounds versus four. Mm-hmm. The field is not as big. They're not going to have the cuts that you currently have on the PGA Tour, even though that's something that'll be going away next year, et cetera, at the designated events. But yeah, so if you will, the reps, is to use a Tiger phrase, the reps I think are going to be better on the PGA Tour than you're going to get on the LIV Tour. However, the LIV Tour has massive talent. I mean, just look at Cameron Smith as an example. And Cameron Smith will be addressing the media from Augusta National this coming week. So I do think that there are multiple players that are part of LIV that are capable of winning the Masters and that have been playing well enough because they have massive talent that they can go out and win at Augusta National. I don't think it's as likely as it has been in years past, but it is definitely possible because of who we're talking about.
Yeah, it's going to be a very exciting week to watch and to see what unfolds.
Yes, for so many reasons.
Yes, for so many reasons. Matt Adams, thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse. I know your schedule is incredible. Now, we're going to be able to see you on Golf Central many times, giving us this information that's coming out. You're going to be on every day. What can we expect?
I will be on Fairways and Life will broadcast live at 8 a.m. Eastern time every single day. And just go to our YouTube channel, Fairways and Life, and you'll see that television show every day. I'll be doing tons of other content when I'm up there. And then from the Monday after the Masters that week, I'm hosting all kinds of shows up at Golf Channel as well. So, You'll be getting plenty of me, probably, unfortunately, for some, but you'll be getting plenty of me.
I like your directness, sir. So 8 a.m. Eastern on YouTube, we can see Fairways of Life. And then after the Masters, we can see you talk about what happened, which is always fascinating. Thank you so much, Matt.
Good to talk to you. Bye-bye.
Good to talk to you. Aloha. All right, we're going to come back. Ron Syrak is going to take us through the Augusta National Women's Amateur. But right now, we're going to talk with William Foster, PGA, the Four Seasons, Lanai is where he's calling in from. Aloha Section PGA 2022 Youth Player Development Award recipient. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
The Aloha Power Equipment Superstore is next to the Costco gas station in Eveleigh. Riding mowers, robotic mowers, weed whackers, blowers, chainsaws, and generators. We got it all. Specials throughout the store. We stock parts and accessories for everything we sell. Honda, Maruyama, Steel,
Echo, Billy Goat, and a lounge for while you wait repairs. Our Waipahu store is still open. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment Superstore.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
No high fives for me? What is
up? I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
William Foster, PGA at Four Seasons Lanai. Aloha Section PGA 2022 Youth Player Development Award recipient. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Thank you, Danielle. Yeah, thank you so much for having me on your show.
And congratulations on your award. Were you, like, taken aback, shocked, amazed?
You know, a little bit. We have such a great team here. And my director of golf, Scott Ashworth, he's nominated me a couple times. So I kind of knew it was coming. But, it's an honor to receive this award.
Absolutely. And, I guess you figured, you know, eventually.
Yeah, you know, eventually. This is only so big, I figured it'd be my turn eventually.
So what is youth player development? What exactly does that mean?
It's just that, right? It's growing the game through our youth. I've been here on Lanai for about a little over 5 years, and part of the main initiative when I came on board here was to grow the game, right? And through that, part of that was developing our youth here on Lanai. It's a very, very small community. There's only about 3,000 of us. And really, honestly, each of us we have our role here within the community. And my role is to kind of introduce the youth to our wonderful game. So that's what I've been doing. And we have weekly clinics every Saturday morning. Right now we have about a dozen kids who show up on a weekly basis, and we just introduce them to the game that we love.
That's awesome. How do you do that? What's your philosophy?
It's like my philosophy is pretty simple, right? Honestly, we have so many options. Kids these days are so lucky with the opportunities they have to play different sports. So I just want them to come down here to the golf course, and really honestly, goal number one is to have fun. I want them to kind of fall in love with the game the same way I did. And yes, of course, we work on fundamentals. We're building them into little golfers, but more than anything, we're practicing aloha and, cheering on each other and we get a little bit better along the way.
Do you play mostly like on the range, or do you guys go out on the golf course?
We like to try and mix it up, but for the most part, we run them through kind of like a circuit that we have at the practice facility. So every class starts on the practice putting green. We have a couple drills where we work on start line, and then we'll probably do something with regards to distance control, a couple drills with distance control. I kind of have like a circuit I put them through after they get off the practice putting green, with a variety of training aids. I'll have them pass medicine balls. I'll have them have like a little teeter totter board to get them shifting their pressure, being balanced and powerful, swing fan, impact bags. I'll kind of run it through a circuit, and then we'll get on the range. And, here at Four Seasons Lanai, we're very fortunate. We have a track man. So the kids, at the end of the session, the kids love getting on track man, seeing how fast they can swing the club, checking out their video. They're better at the video analysis than I am. So yeah, it's good fun. It's good fun.
That sounds like fun. You know, and I'm surprised, you know, why on the green first rather than on the range?
I've just always, you know, I've always been a fan of starting small and working your way bigger. It's just, I've had a lot of great mentors along the way, and everywhere I've gone, they've always taught me to start small and work your way big. So, especially for our younger class, the kids who are maybe not quite as big, it's something to instill some confidence in them, right? Yeah, we all can't swing the driver and hit it really far, but for the most part, I can get most kids making a 3-4 foot putt. And as you know, right, that can be just as satisfying as hitting the ball well with your full swing.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Cause you can actually see the whole process.
Yeah.
Sometimes that ball's in the air and you're like, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
And now I've heard people have this, you know, kind of conversation with me. Is golf a sport? Or is it just a game?
100% golf is a sport. There's no question about it. As you well know, right, it's a very, very challenging hand-eye ball sport, right? So so with that, right, we do, especially, again, with the younger classes, we like to incorporate a lot of things that build hand-eye. It's not just golf-specific. I don't know if you're familiar with Snag golf equipment, but they have kind of these smaller tennis balls. And like a bunch of Velcro targets. So we'll start class by literally doing underhand and overhand tosses at the bullseye or tossing water balloons back and forth, just things to help develop their hand eye. Because that is, that's part of golf. That's part of golf, my friend.
Yeah. You know, it would be funny if somebody were to try to have that conversation with, let's say, Bryson DeChambeau, Tiger Woods, John Rahm, right? It's just a game.
They're athletes.
Say what?
Yeah, they're athletes.
So it's okay. And why is golf a good sport for children?
I mean, it's the same reason it's a good sport for all of us, right? It teaches us so many things. It teaches us to focus on the little things, but also have the perspective of the big picture. It teaches us to have fun and not take yourself too seriously. It's satisfying when you make that 4-foot putt, and it's equally as frustrating when you don't make it. It teaches us to be kind to others and maybe be tough on yourself. You know, there's just so much to gain from this game. So, I don't know. I could go on and on, but it's the greatest sport in the world. So that's why I love sharing it with our youth.
Think, you know, what you just said, I was asking the question the other day, where did all the kindness go in the world? And when you said it teaches children to be kind, you know, that's one of the most important things that a person can learn.
Absolutely. I completely agree. With that said, yes, we want to develop these young players into good golfers, but we want them to be good people at the end of the day. And I was able to learn that at a young age through this game. And so I'm more than happy to share it with the youth here on Lanai.
William Foster, PGA, Four Seasons Lanai. Do you take adults as, you know, if somebody wanted to, like, get a lesson from you?
Oh, sure. Yeah, of course. So we, we're being part of the Four Seasons. We're open to everyone. We have, like I said, I've about a dozen juniors here, and then a handful of students from the adults from the community that I work with.
Cool.
And then yeah, the occasional golfer that hops over for a night or two from Oahu or Maui.
Right on. Real pleasure meeting you.
Yeah, thanks, Danielle. You as well.
Okay, and I hope we'll meet in person. Do you like William, or do you shorten your name?
William, Will, Billy. I'm not too picky.
Hey, you're great. Thanks for being on the show. Right.
Thanks, Danielle. Appreciate your time. Thank
Aloha.
You.
Aloha. We're going to come back. Larry Gilhooley, director for the Northwest Region USGA Green Section. That was his title. the last time we talked, I can't believe it was so long ago, you know, Chambers Bay. My goodness. So he's going to be with us next. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
You can buy new equipment and practice your swing, but peace of mind is the best way to improve your game. Our mission at SIPAC is to safeguard organizations from cyber attacks and business disruption. We are an elite group of cybersecurity specialists providing the deepest level of cyber protection anywhere in Hawaii. As local residents with businesses and families, we are fully invested in protecting Hawaii's livelihoods and assets with the serenity that comes from having SIPAC watching your network and infrastructure so you can completely focus on your next swing. Call 808-861-9595 or on the web at SIPAC.com. That's CYPA.com. MD Restoration, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. COVID compliant. Fire damage repair. Mold remediation. Asbestos abatement. Call 528-3434. And now, get MD cleaned. What do you get for the person that has everything? We're proud to announce Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show logoed merchandise store is open. Just click the green button on our RadioGolfClub.com website to find an outstanding selection of golf club logoed items. Make an impact on the golf course with our range of clothing and accessories that ensure a smile with every package. Explore all golf styles from shirts, pants to jackets, and hats in your size and color. Visit Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club merchandise store today at RadioGolfClub.com. Fun at your fingertips with style.
All right, so Augusta National Women's Amateur, before the show started, had to be halted because of a thunderstorm. And we still have Rose Zhang and the whole crew. They're not playing yet again. So we're going to cover everything about Augusta National Women's Amateur. It is super exciting. Some of the things that are happening are kind of surprising, and yet they're not surprising. So we'll be back about that in particular with Ron Syrak. And first, we're going to talk with Larry Gilhooly.
Tee up the ball, feet grounded, taking a deep breath, rip it, and rip it. Did I? Oh, man. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
Larry Gilhooly, he was the director, Northwest Region, USGA Green Section. The last time we talked, he's since retired. Welcome into the clubhouse, Larry.
Danielle, nice to be back.
It's good to have you back. You know, the last time we talked, we were talking about brown is the new green. and Chambers Bay, that sand and gravel quarry, turned into a world-class golf course. How long ago? Was that 2011? It seems like
2015 was the U.S. Open.
Yeah, that was when, but by that time it was built, right? There was a process.
Yes. Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, they started the golf course back in 2007, I believe.
Yeah.
2008, 2006, somewhere in there. Yep.
Wow. And how is it, you know, there was so much controversy about how it would grow in and how everything was put together. And was it too soon to play the U.S. Open on such a, you know, young course, if you will? How has it grown in?
It's actually, they changed the greens over to a sod from Canada that's poa annua dominated with a little bit of bent grass. And then the bent grass is now growing in the poa. So now there are poa annua bent grass greens. Quite good, to answer your question. The greens are much better than they were. Poa annua has done well. It's our climate here in the Northwest. And so the golf course is doing quite well. They're going to have, they just announced two more championships, the U.S. Amateur. Is going to be coming back in 2027, I believe. So hopeful they'll have some more big ones coming.
Yeah. You know, when we were talking, we played Chambers Bay Sunday.
Oh, did you?
From, no, you, when, way back when, I'm looking at my old notes, you know. You spoke about Irish lynx and Scottish lynx. And you say the Irish lynx are more difficult than the Scottish lynx. And I thought, I wondered, did I ever ask you what's the difference?
Well, this is just my opinion. The Scottish lynx don't have as much as a general rule. Now, there are some Scottish lynx that have massive dunes. But the Irish lynx have just got massive dunes everywhere,
okay.
It seems like. And so that's the big difference between the two. That and the beer's better in Ireland. We all know that.
Yeah. Yeah, we all know that. Be careful.
You'll have somebody. I will. It was St. Patrick's Day just recently.
Yes, it was. All right. Just a little while ago, Matt Adams was on the show, and I've been talking about the model local rule because it's fascinating. And when the USJ and RNA introduced the concept of rolling back the ball for the elite players in the world so that they couldn't hit it so far, so they wouldn't make golf courses obsolete, that in 30 to 40 years, you know, we wouldn't be able to play based on the fitness of the guys who are in this sport, in addition to the fact that the ball is, you know, able to go miles because of the technology that they're able to use to make it go far, which everybody wants it to do. Everybody, like, you know, 99.9% of the population that isn't an elite player. But when they said that, it, you know, it was all about the golf course. And I don't know the politics about all of this, but it just made so much sense. How can we afford, from a water point of view, from all the different things that it takes to maintain a golf course, to continue to make them bigger, longer, at the expense? And I was curious what your take was. And I know you're not in an official capacity anymore, but you've been in the business for a long time. And how would the golf courses, give me your thoughts on this.
Sure. I know that there are 48 golf courses on the PGA Tour and maybe not as many on the Korn Ferry Tour. The LPGA would be unaffected. This is just for a minute percentage of golf courses that would have to expand. Golf in general, the 99.9% of all golfers are completely not impacted by this. It has nothing to do with us, so it won't hurt the game in any way, shape, or form. It would require, much like baseball, the best analogy I could come up with thinking about this question. Baseball, when you're an amateur, you can use metal bats, and then you got to go to wood. So, you know, the baseball players have to adapt to that. And then baseball fields are all different sizes and everything. Well, so is golf. And golf, the pros are a different level than we are, and they would have to adapt to a golf ball that would go shorter distance. They'd have to adapt their irons and how they play the golf course. But those would be the only courses that truly would have to be expanded. Golf, as we know it, would not be changed one iota with these changes because it does not impact regular players.
Right. Okay. But of the golf courses that would have to be lengthened, why was that the argument that was brought forth? You know, that all these golf courses were going to become obsolete.
Yeah, and there are courses, well named courses, that would have to be lengthened or they just couldn't be played. And so the counter to that then is that, and there's no property to expand them. So the pros would have to go to other courses or just not be able to play these great courses. That's their complaint.
Right.
The counter to that though is, okay, well, why don't you just narrow down the fairways? Well, the USGA has done that. And think about Wingfoot, what they did there.
Yes.
And lengthen the roughs. Well, they did, and DeChambeau took it apart because it's just too difficult. So we'll make the roughs higher. Well, then you lose golf balls. We'll make the fairways narrower. Well, yeah, but gee, Merry Christmas. You know, you're taking away the driver for some players. But to me, it's really not that. My personal opinion as just a golfer doesn't impact me, doesn't impact the club I'm at Canterwood here in beautiful Gig Harbor that's 45 degrees right now. It just doesn't impact regular golf. It's not going to slow the game down. It's not going to negatively impact those that want to play the game because it doesn't impact regular play.
Yeah.
It is the elite players only. I understand their concern, but boy, it's sure fun to watch them play Marion and some of these shorter courses that just require ball striking. And that's what that golf ball would do. So I'm all in favor of it. And I think the only ones I've really, at least on the internet, seem to be against it are the elite players. And I understand their complaint.
Yeah, oh, certainly. You know, yeah, it would be a massive adjustment, bottom line.
The idea of all the golf courses around the country, around the world, would suddenly have to use more water and more fertilizer and all the environmental issues, that's just a moot point because those courses aren't being played from the tips. They're being played by us.
Got it.
It's just not. There's no impact. So it really is a moot point as far as that's concerned. It's just a different playing field for those particular players.
Okay. So Augusta National would...
Yep.
That would be an obsolete course, correct?
It could be. And you start naming them all off, Pebble Beach, all these great courses. But, you know, it's when you look at the game in its entirety, I guess the question would be, okay, if these players have to play a different ball, would it make players not want to play as much? Would they turn off the TV to not watch somebody hit a 350 and drive a green when they can only hit a 300? I don't think so. I just don't think so. It's not. I just don't believe it'll impact the game that much.
Yeah. All right. That's great. I thank you for your positive feedback. That's wonderful. Where do you see when your green section? You mentioned that they changed the grass at Chambers Bay. Yay! I mean, they.
Yep.
What's going on with water shortages? Are more grasses being developed to reduce the need for water?
Yes, absolutely. There's grasses being developed. One of the best stories, I think, is Seashore Pass Phalum and the ability to handle water that's really poor quality, salt water. But the USGA is spending a lot of money ongoing around the country at universities developing new grasses. And I think that's great work that they're doing. The other thing that I will throw back to the ball going further conversation, there's one thing that we need for the game that really will help it for us, all of us golfers, is to have tees set at proper distances for the shorter hitter and the slower swing speed. It's a glaring need, and it is happening on the golf courses. And I'm pleased. I get to visit courses still now and then, and we talk about this particular topic. This isn't a gender issue. This is a swing speed issue. And golf courses all over in the Northwest here are starting to move, add forward tees, which is good. And then as people age, their swing speed slows down, and people get to move up. Well, if you don't have tees that are short enough, they quit. So that's my spiel about forward tees, that we need more of that. Not worrying about the elite players hitting it too far.
Right. Okay. Now, here's I want to tee it forward. Can I just take my tee and go a little bit further forward? Forget about that tee back there and just plant my tee and hit from wherever
I certainly can. You certainly can, but your score won't be counted because it has to be from a course that has been marked and is rated from that distance. And so what we're seeing here in the Northwest is courses going from forward tees that maybe are, in some cases, 5,400, which is way too long, down to 4,000 to 4,200 to 4,300. And that's where a 60-mile-an-hour swing speed, which is the average swing speed of the average female player with a 28 handicap, hits a driver 140 yards, and they can actually get on greens in regulation and speed up play, and it's all positive. And if they don't want to play there, move back. It's real simple.
Wow. You mean it's fun when you do a forward tease?
It's fun. It addresses pace of play, and it's win-win-win all the way around. But
right.
Still, you'll run into folks that are better players that say, well, that's too easy. Well, you don't have to play there. You know, we don't need more back tees. We need forward tees. And that's all I've talked about, Danielle, since I retired. And I still go to golf courses. A golf course, in fact, if there's anybody out there, if they want to send me their scorecard, I can do a real quick analysis for where their forward tee should go. Just about guarantee you that every one of them is going to be about 4,000 to 4,400. And then the fun part, the most fun is to show to a group of naysayers, usually better players, how long would the pro with a swing speed of 110 miles an hour have to play the golf course that they're playing to compare to the irons and clubs hit into the greens by the average player with a swing speed of 60. and everybody guesses 8,000, and it's way too low. It's usually between 10,500 to 11,000 yards. That's how long it would have to be for the pros to play equivalent to what the average player plays from the forward tees right now. It's just, it's ridiculous. So we're seeing a nice movement in that direction, and I encourage any listeners, if you're at a golf course, look at your forward tees. They probably need to be moved forward.
And so how do they get in touch with you if they'd like to talk to you?
I have my own lgilhooley at outlook.com.
Okay.
And folks can contact me. You can give them my phone number if you want. And I still visit golf courses here and there in Hawaii and up in Canada and here and there when people call.
Wonderful.
Not full time, just but now and then.
Yeah.
Hit the golf sometimes.
Sure. Yeah, and hit the golf ball once in a while, right?
Yeah, kind of.
Larry Gilhooley, director, West Northwest Region, USGA Green Section. That was his title before he retired. And real pleasure talking with you. You are a wealth of very important information. Thanks a lot.
Well, Daniel. Thanks, Daniel. Appreciate it.
Uh-huh. Aloha. Coming back with Ron Cyrak. Yes, we're going to Augusta National Women's Amateur. Now, I'm without television, but I'm looking at the scoreboard, and it doesn't look like we're playing yet because of that storm. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
The Aloha Power Equipment Superstore is next to the Costco gas station in Ivele. Riding mowers, robotic mowers, weed whackers, blowers, chainsaws, and generators. We got it all. Specials throughout the store. We stock parts and accessories for everything we sell. Honda, Maruyama, Steel, Echo, Billy Goat, and a lounge for while you wait repairs. Our Waipahu store is still open. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment Superstore.
Nice door. Nice door. Hey, that's a beautiful door.
Yes, Mike, it is. Rayner has helped thousands of Hawaii homeowners improve their home's beauty and safety with a new door over the years. We specialize in helping people get the right door so they can enjoy their door now while adding to the value and security of their home.
This is little Mike, and that was 18 years ago. It's never too late to call my dad. Rayner Overhead Doors, 676-3667.
You can buy new equipment and practice your swing, but peace of mind is the best way to improve your game. Our mission at SIPAC is to safeguard organizations from cyber attacks and business disruption. We are an elite group of cybersecurity specialists providing the deepest level of cyber protection anywhere in Hawaii. As local residents with businesses and families, we are fully invested in protecting Hawaii's livelihoods and assets with the serenity that comes from having SIPAC watching your network and infrastructure so you can completely focus on your next swing. Call 808-861-9595 or on the web at SIPAC.com. That's CYPA.com.
All right, Vera, your two rounds of golf to the beautiful Volcano Golf Course. We'll be in the mail tomorrow, tomorrow Sunday. How about Monday? I'll put them in the mail, and it'll be my office was in boxes. I couldn't remember which box I put the certificates in, so I apologize for the delay. We have two rounds of golf for folks who want to go play between the two volcanoes at Volcano Golf Course. For the ninth caller, all you got to do is be the ninth caller. What's the number? It's 808. 545-1111.
Ah, here's the local rules sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Ron Cyrak, award-winning writer, Golf Channel contributor, PGA of America Lifetime Achievement in Journalism Award recipient, LPGA Media Excellence Award, and author, with Lynn Marriott and Pia Nilsson, Vision 54, the trilogy, including Play Your Best Golf Now. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Hey, Danielle, thanks for having me on again. And yes, they have just resumed play at the Augusta National Women's Amateur. They're on the, the leader, Rosang, is on the, just hit her second shot on the par 5 eighth hole over the greens. So they're back out there at it. And it looks like the weather is a little bit less breezy than it was this morning, which was playing havoc with the scores out there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, someone asked the question. Is it possible after doing very well at Champions Retreat for 2 days to be embarrassed at Augusta National? And I thought to myself, yeah. and Rose Zhang, 9 under through 7 with a 4 over par today, a double bogey on the opening round. Ouch. That's painful.
Yeah, she started out with a 5-stroke lead, and sometimes, it's hard to play with a big lead because when you're teeing it up, you're sort of thinking to yourself, wow, if I blow this lead, everyone's going to say I blew this lead, And she also had, normally in a normal tournament, you sleep on the lead for 1 day before the final round, but she had to sleep on the lead for 2 days because they played Wednesday, Thursday. Then Friday was a practice round at Augusta National, so everybody could get a feel of Augusta National. So she's actually been the leader for 2 days waiting for the final round to begin. So that's a lot of pressure on her. It'll be the rain delay, this weather delay might have been a good thing for her. Maybe it give her a chance to settle her nerves down. Still got a 3-stroke lead, still very much in control of the tournament.
Yeah, I don't know that much about the collegiate game. But I understand that she is pretty comfortable, though. Normally, when she has a lead, she goes on to victory. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it is. And I mean, you talk about a pedigree. She won the U.S. Women's Amateur in 2020. She won the U.S. Girls Junior in 2021. She won the NCAA tournament in 2022. So she knows how to get this is the fourth time she's played the Augusta National Women's Amateur. So she's got a lot of experience under her belt, particularly somebody who's still only 19 years old. And talk That's about incredible. Women's college golf. I mean, you look at the leaderboard here, and you got Rose Zhang plays for Stanford, and you got Andrea Lignell from Sweden plays for the University of Mississippi. Jenny Bay from Georgia plays for the University of Georgia. So you're really seeing at the top of the leaderboard a showcase for how strong women's college golf has become.
Yeah. Now, how many of these women do you expect to turn pro?
Probably a strong handful of them, it's a good test for how they play under this sort of competition. Mm-hmm. But, one of the things that I think that for most of them, you're going to see them continue on in college golf. And because college golf, again, has gotten so much better that you can learn a lot more playing college golf now than you could have 10 years ago, 15 years ago. The competition is much, much more intense.
Yes. And it's more expensive, just the traveling and the overnighting and, just everything that goes along. You need, how do young women find a way to get, do they get sponsors?
Yeah, when you turn pro and you probably got to figure that you get out on tour and it's probably $100,000 a year in expenses, travel expenses, housing expenses, caddy expenses. So it's hard to make ends meet. And the sad truth is that LPGA players are still playing for one-fifth or less of the prize money than the men are playing for.
Isn't that something? But the charm of this particular tournament is that if you do win, you get to play the Augusta National Women's Amateur for 5 years. Don't you go on to the U.S. Women's Open, among other
You got the Women's Open and the British Open.
And the British Open.
So both. I was thinking today about it. The first time that I went to the Masters in 1988, there were no black members at Augusta National Golf Club. There were no women members at Augusta National. They didn't show the front nine on television. the press center was a Quonset hut, and and now you look at the role that Augusta National plays in the growth of the game. What they have done over the last 20 years created the Asia Pacific Amateur Championship, the Latin American Amateur Championship, the Augusta National Women's Amateur. They the drive, chip, and putt contest, where the finals will be tomorrow at Augusta National. The club has become so involved in growing the game and has really taken a leadership role right up there with the governing bodies in the game.
And they made the media center really cool.
Yeah, this is the first, as I said, the first year I was there, it was a Quonset hut. And then it went to what I thought was the greatest media center I was ever in. And then they built another one about 5 years ago that blew that up first one out of the water.
So. Yeah, pretty amazing. Because the one I saw was, 2013. And it was pretty amazing. Just, you know, and so I can't imagine what this one must look like. So
It's weird for me, though, to go to media dining and to have a hostess beat you, you know. It's like, come on, we're sports writers.
Don't you know our reputation?
Yeah. I mean, we're barely housebroken.
Right, exactly. USGA is parting way with ProMedica, and I thought this was interesting because it's, you know, for no reason other than what they say in their release. We are grateful for those partners like the USGA that understand the extreme financial challenges the healthcare industry's been navigating and have worked with us in a professional manner to reassess prior engagements. In other words, it seems to me, they're saying, we can't afford to do this anymore. Thank you so much for not expecting us to continue.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. The USGA has no better person than Mike Wan to be in the position of finding somebody to replace ProMedica to write those checks. I saw the 10 years he was at the LPGA, and what an amazing, amazing job. I mean, he took over the LPGA in the depths of the Great Recession, and after the previous commissioner had strained some business ties, and he took it from a low of 23 tournaments back up to 34 tournaments. He is a brilliant, brilliant salesman, and he'll find somebody to step in to write those checks so that event can continue to grow. You look at how the prize money has increased. I think they're up to $10 million total prize money now for that tournament. That's just phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, it is actually phenomenal, the work that he did and is continuing to do with the USGA. I just want to say, why don't we wait here? I just want to stay here. Why don't we wait here now? When you hear that song, I feel like I'm standing at Augusta National under the trees, and that is perfect. There is no better way. I don't want to go anywhere. I just want to stay right here. Let's just stay here. Oh, it's a really exciting time that the Masters is coming along. And Jim Nance, this will be his last Masters. Jeez, it just doesn't seem possible.
He's the voice of both the NCAA men's basketball tournament and the Masters, you know. The way the television coverage of that event has evolved over the years is phenomenal, because there was a time when we did not see any of the front nine golf holes there.
Yeah.
And I've always thought that the key to scoring at Augusta National is if you can step onto the eighth tee even par, you have a chance to put up a really good score. Those first seven holes are really, really hard. And now we finally get a chance. We get a chance to see them. And, yeah, you think of all the, the memorable things that Jim Nance has called there. He called, Tiger Woods in 97 and Jack Nicklaus in 86. And it's just been phenomenal.
Yes. I mean, you know, go back to all the reactions. It could be like a clip, you know, it would just be a wonderful clip to hear him react. So we have seven amateurs playing in the Masters next week. There are 31 women, of course. Or was it 31 or 30 women who made it through into from Champions Retreat into Augusta National?
The cut was 31. 31 players made it, yeah.
Did they expand it because of the cut? If you got in the number, I thought they did a playoff. Is that old?
Yeah, you know, I wondered if they changed that too, because and there was some criticism, and I don't know, the bottom line is I don't know the exact answer to that, uh-huh. but there was some criticism about the fact in the past about why, while they're having a playoff, you know, let everybody who tied for that last spot go ahead.
Yes.
But the fact that they have an odd number of players, I'm not entirely sure what that reason is.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I thought maybe I was a typo.
No.
So, okay. We're going to switch gears a little bit because something's coming up. It's called it's called Augusta National. There's one more spot. You know, I went right past a really important note that I wanted to bring up, and that is that a young man decided that his mental health wasn't good enough. Aaron Wise withdrew from the Masters. Yeah. Can you imagine withdrawing from the Masters? To focus on his mental health. Regretfully, I am withdrawing from the Masters today. Didn't he put the ball in the water three times in the same hole in the Players' Championship? Is that?
Yeah, you know, and I think that he is such a great example of how much we've evolved as a society and as a culture about issues dealing with mental health. You know, that it is so much more. It wasn't that long ago where an athlete would never have talked about that publicly.
Absolutely, you know? Yes.
They would have just said, my back hurts. I got a sore back. I can't play, you know, and withdraw for other reasons. But the fact that athletes can step forward right now and talk openly and honestly about that is a real, real indication of sort of a maturing of our society about those issues.
Finally. And now somebody's asked, you know, doesn't that mean that with Aaron Wise being out, somebody gets to step in the wait list?
Nope.
Right. Okay.
There's no wait list at Augusta National. I think this year, the last I saw, I think there's 88 players in the field, which is, one of the lowest in a while. Usually it's like in the low 90s, 91, 92. In there, but I think it's 88 this year.
Okay. But at the 2023 Texas Valero Open, or is it the Valero Texas Open, the winner does get to go?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So if that person's not otherwise qualified, that will be another person in the field.
And Patrick Rogers, I don't think is otherwise, he's not qualified. Got a beautiful swing. And he's doing quite well. He's at the top of the leaderboard by two strokes with Matt Kuchar right behind him. And it's not great that Matt Kuchar is right behind him. But I was looking and I thought, oh, well, you know, everybody wants Ricky Fowler. I'd love Ricky Fowler to be in the field. He's got that Ricky Fowler thing. You know, he's got that flair. But he's way down at 59th. It's hard.
It's funny, probably in the time I've been covering the Masters, I would say that, you know, there probably have been four or five times. Remember Brad Faxon doing it one year where somebody has gone into the last event before the Masters, weren't qualified, and they went out and win it. So it does happen, but it certainly doesn't happen every year. Ricky Fowler was showing, and still is, a lot of signs this year of making a little bit of a comeback.
Yeah.
The tour could really use, he does everything right except win. I mean, he's great with the fans. He's great with the media. He's great with the sponsors. He's got the it factor all over the
nailed.
Place.
Yes.
Except that he doesn't win as much as would be as would be helpful to to further promote them out there.
Yes. Ron Czyrak, award-winning writer, Golf Channel contributor, PGA of America Lifetime Achievement and Journalism Award. Thank you so much for being in the clubhouse with us again. And you'll be with us again next week because it's the Masters. And
I don't know. Always a pleasure, Danielle. Talk to you down the road, my friend.
Thank you. Aloha. Alex Nakajima, General Manager, Director of Golf, Troon Golf at Kapalua Plantation Course since 2016, the Aloha Section PGA 2022 Golf Professional of the Year is next. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
I'm Colin Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
Nice door. Nice door. Hey, that's a beautiful door.
Yes, Mike, it is. Rainer has helped thousands of Hawaii homeowners improve their home's beauty and safety with a new door over the years. We specialize in helping people get the right door so they can enjoy their door now while adding to the value and security of their home.
This is little Mike, and that was 18 years ago. It's never too late to call my dad. Rainer Overhead Doors, 676-3667.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
No high fives for me? What is
up? I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
K-O-R-L, Waianae, Honolulu.
Yeah, yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that? Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Alex Nakajima, General Manager, Director of Golf, Troon Golf at Kapalua Plantation Course. And the Aloha Section PGA 2022 Golf Professional of the Year. Welcome into the clubhouse, Alex.
Good morning, Danielle.
Good
How are you?
Morning. I'm fine, and I'm so excited. When I saw that you won as the PGA Golf Professional of the Year, bestowing special recognition on a PGA Golf professional who has performed outstanding services as an overall PGA professional, one of the highest honors the PGA can bestow. Candidates must possess outstanding qualities of leadership, strong moral character, substantial record of service to the association and the game of golf. That's the highest honor. And when I was looking at some of the things you've done, and I didn't realize that, I mean, you were at Princeville for 4 years. And then you accepted the position as Director of Golf Asset Management for Goldman Sachs Realty Japan. That's a huge difference. And then you come back to Hawaii at Princeville, GM and Director of Golf. And then you accept the position at Kapalua, where every year the PGA Tour starts their season, right, at Kapalua. And you must be like around a lot of people who I've never met because they're living in a completely different world. Very right. Important people come out to the Century Tournament of Champions. So how does it feel, Alex Nakajima, to have this award?
Hey, first of all, thanks for all that. Daniel, I love being on your show. And thanks for inviting me today. But when you list all the things that you just mentioned, it sounds like an old man. And, did I do anything different last year? When I reflect back, it really, really wasn't. And, you know, just surrounding myself and our team, building our team has been a big goal of mine. And wherever I went, from Princeville to Tokyo, hotter Tokyo, to coming back to Maui, you know, just surrounding ourselves with a good people that values, share my same values, it makes our job so much easier. But when you mentioned about Century Tournament of Champions, recently we have quite a bit of change to that qualifying field. Used to be the winners only event, and now we get to invite the top 50 from the year end as well. So we're building the stronger events, and then the that brings more exposure to not only Kapalua but entire state of Hawaii into golf. So we're so excited to be part of all this movement, and I'm just happy to be here and do what I love every day.
Yeah. Do you realize you will be held as the model PGA golf professional? I was thinking about that. You know, that's like quite an expectation. You know, you are now the model PGA golf professional.
Very flattering. And if young, you know, men and ladies that comes into this game and seek the profession of managing the golf course or growing the game at the facilities or off-site, we're happy to give the advices and then guide them to, you know, their success. But we do also get a lot of inquiries about, you know, how to become a golf pro, PGA professionals. And it's a tough industry, but we touch so many different areas, from accounting, finances, to sales and marketing, legals. So to become an all well-rounded professional, I think you need to know all of them. And that's what I like to share with them. This is just not, golf pro is not only about teaching the game or, you know, running the counter. But, you know, we touch so many parts of the businesses, and it's just a wonderful game and wonderful position to be in. So happy to share that with anybody coming in, new or been in the industry.
That, you know, let me ask you something. How long does it take to become a PGA? Because I always talk about that, and it takes a while. It's not easy to become a PGA.
Correct. And then the paths are slightly different. And recently I was approached by my old-time colleague of Goldman Sachs, and his son is just finishing high school. And he says, Alex, is this a good profession? And do you recommend them, his son, going through the program? Well, some people can fast track it, but it will generally take from 2 to 3 years to if you're committed. But you will be working at the golf course, or there's a shorter path. You know, there's a few universities that offers a professional golf management degree, and you will earn some of the PGA credits along the way. So that will definitely put you on the fast track to become a PGA member.
And then there's the you actually have to pass the test on the golf course, don't you?
Correct. Correct. You know, we like everyone to have a minimum playing ability. So you have to play two rounds in the same day, two 36 holes, and then pass the minimum score. And that will basically guarantee and prove that you have the ability to play and advance into learning into the management side of it, or, you know, further become an expert in various parts of the game.
Yeah, and the business. And that's where the reason I brought up the Goldman Sachs aspect of your background, Goldman Sachs Realty Japan. You also, at Goldman Sachs, you were in large part a part of the creating process of the operating platform Accordia Golf LLC and the initial public offering of the company on the Tokyo Stock Exchange. Where did you learn all of that?
you know, you don't, well, you learn the basics in school, but when you get to the real life, it is quite different. But first of all, I was fortunate to be found by Goldman and Trungoff to open the Tokyo office. And at the time, in 2000, I think it was the year 2000, where Japanese economy has crashed in the early 90s, and a lot of distressed golf courses were becoming available for sale. And between Trune and Goldman Sachs, we had opportunity to buy these golf courses, but to really to restructure them in the right way. So going through that motion, understanding the business and what the each golf course potentials are by doing the due diligences. And then, you know, I personally don't like the consultants that's giving you all the recipes, but somebody has to do it. So turnaround story, working inside those entities, and then, you know, cleaning it up and then taking it as a public company. That was an experience of a lifetime, and probably will never happen in the world business golf again in the world, because Japan has 2,400 golf courses. It's the second largest golfing country in the world next to U.S. So for this many golf courses, we purchased about nearly 200 golf courses. But for them to go into a one single group called Accordia, that was an amazing process.
I bet. And now, when you talk about the second largest golfing country, what's the first? Is it the U.S. or?
Yes, U.S. market has it's far beyond. Yes, I think it was about 13,000 golf courses. Wow. If I remember right?
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah. U.S. have a lots of deep populations and the golf courses. Who would expect that Japan to be the second?
Yeah,
right?
I don't know. Are the Japanese golfers coming back to Hawaii for vacation yet?
Absolutely, they are, and they can't wait. And currently, Daniel, I do have a supporting role of other Trune Hawaii courses. And one of them are Kapolei.
Yes, golf club. Yes.
And the Kapolei market is very dependent on Japanese and Asian market to rebound. But now the COVID restrictions are very relaxed, and the people are ready to come. However, there is a one exchange rate factor, and the yen is not very favorable. So that's preventing lots of people to come over at the moment, as well as the surcharge, oil surcharge on the flights. But we're expecting this summer to be a big, and third and fourth quarter to be more like the normal pre-COVID days.
Ah, good. Well, it's kind of like, you know, in the UK, they decide whether or not they're going to do anything depending on how much, or we decide whether we're going to go there depending on the exchange rate. You know, how many pounds am I going to get for the dollar? Right?
Absolutely.
Right. It's no doubt. Everybody's the same, and you, it's not surprising. The oil surcharge, is it higher for them flying from Japan to here? Do we have the same kind of oil surcharge?
Well, you know, a few years ago, well, maybe about a year ago, I think I heard it was about, on top of the airfare, about $800 per person.
Whoa.
And then that since came down to $200, $300 range. So when you're buying a ticket, you have to factor that in per person, plus the buying power of yen to dollar has been weak. So it does become an expensive vacation site. But for Japanese, Hawaii is, there's a strong attachment, and there's a long history of visiting Hawaii. So people can't wait to come back. And once they're here, they're eating and playing golf and doing activities. So we're going to see them come back very strong in the third and fourth quarter. That's my
I'm glad. I'm glad that you're saying that, because I know our restaurants need customers, you know. And if you can, everybody let's get out there and support our local restaurants. It's really important. Make it a Sunday outing at least once a month. That would be right. That would be a big help. Yeah.
Daniel, I see that Waikiki has quite changed over the last 3 years when I walked through there. And it was primarily a lot of Japanese and now Japanese, Korean before. But now we see a lot of North American guests. And the hotels and hospitality industry has done a fantastic job filling the rooms and then keeping the business going. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious how they're going to switch as stronger demand comes back from Asia in the coming months, in this year to next year. So it's something to watch.
It will be. And having you on the show is always a pleasure because the depth of your understanding of everything from the industry of the visitor industry to the golf industry to the financial markets to this, it's... You are one of a kind, sir, and I thank you so much for being on the show with me today.
Anytime.
Thank you. Aloha. Alex Nakajima, General Manager, Director of Golf, Troon Golf at Kapalua Plantation Course, and the Aloha Section, PGA 2022 Golf Professional of the Year. From the Aloha Section, PGA Executive Director's Office, Wes Wailehua, we got this message, and I just wanted to share it with you again. With sadness, we announce the loss of PGA lifetime member Ronald Custillo Sr. He was 86. He passed peacefully at home with his family on March 26. His leadership and passion for the game have blessed the Hawaii golf industry. He was a legend to many of Hawaii's golf professionals, and he will be missed by all of us. As more information becomes available, we will share it with you. Until then, we ask you to keep the Custillo Ohana in your thoughts during this difficult time. Want to thank the people who make this show possible. Aloha Power Equipment's megastore next door to the Costco gas station on Alakava in Iwile and the Waipahu store. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment. You know, was your power out when we had all those the storms come through and people were desperate to, you know, I don't know, keep the refrigerator going? Well, think about this. Get a generator. You never know when something like that's going to happen. And you can always hook up your refrigerator to the generator. You've got the generator going on outside. Have an extension cord to the refrigerator. Talk to an electrician about the best way to handle that. But that would be a windstorm is, you know, it's not the only one we're going to have. So it can save your food and your sanity. Talk to the folks at Aloha Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips. And they've got everything that you could possibly need. All the different manufacturers. MD Restoration, flood from the inside or out, flood or fire disaster. You need help immediately. MD Restoration is on it any time of the day or night, right away. If disaster strikes your home or office, 528-3434, and they are licensed contractors. So not only can they mitigate the situation, they can also restore you back to your earlier condition, like make you whole again. Rainer Garage Doors, beautiful look, maximum security, quiet, your first safety zone. And the Rainer door value to your home is, well, it'll come back to you if you ever decide to sell. It's the perfect time. Call 676-3667 and see the latest garage door designs at hawaiidoor.com. We've also got just honored to have the support of the Aloha Section PGA. And you heard it today from one of the great PGAs. It takes a lot of time, love of this game to become a PGA. They want to share their knowledge with you. So by all means, get in touch with your neighboring golf course and find out who you can make an appointment with to shape up your game, something I need to do. SIPAC for cybersecurity for your company or your organization. It's SIPAC, an elite group of cyber specialists providing the deepest level of security for your home, for your office, for the people around you, the people you care about. Online, they're SIPAC.com, and their number is 861-9595. And if you're stumped about what to give somebody, a friend who seems to have everything, give them a Poipu Bay gift certificate, home of the Grand Slam of Golf for years. Everyone at the golf club wants a golf certificate from Poipu Bay. So give them one. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2023.